let's talk about self-care today, if that's all right. I am very, very late to the self-care game and went way too long without thinking about my own mental health, physical health, without thinking about my mind, body, and soul. And I'm no guru, all right? I'm no master of self-care today, but I'm significantly better than I was, say, 3 years ago. And I just want to share a bit of my self-care journey with you today. I want to unpack and explain how I'm able to keep doing what I do in terms of the justice work, focusing on work that's often deeply painful, and I'm really only able to do it because of some of the self-care practices that I have. Love and appreciate you all. Let me unpack and explain it. This is Sean King, and you are listening to
The Breakdown. The Breakdown. The Breakdown.
In my previous book, Make Change, and I hope you have it, but in my book, Make Change, I dedicate a whole chapter to talking about what self-care has looked like for me. And since I wrote that book, I wrote it now over 2 years ago, I believe. Yes, at least 2 years ago, into 3 years ago. Since I wrote it and it was published, I've put in place even more habits and practices to help me take care of myself. And at the root of a lot of what I'm about to say was me needing to unlearn and deprogram a lot of bad things that I had learned over the years that made it hard for me to take care of myself. You know, I grew up around people who worked from the time they woke up until they had to pass out at the end of the night. I grew up in a place where it was very taboo to talk about your feelings. You know, growing up, one, I grew up in a different generation, but, you know, nobody talked about therapy. Like, that wasn't. Like, now, I don't mean to say that it's popular to talk about therapy, but it definitely wasn't popular when I was coming up. And it just seemed like something totally optional, or therapy seemed like something you did in an extreme emergency. But there's also something else that I was really having to deprogram. It was this thing of, you know, I'll rest when I die. You know, you're not working hard enough. And this notion that to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve, hear me closely, that you have to work 23 hours a day, that you have to forgo your family, your friends, your physical and mental health, that you basically have to throw everything away to pursue your dreams or to accomplish your dreams. And listen, I am huge on hard work. Work hard. Work your ass off, but with boundaries. And the way I was taught, and even from the people that I admired as heroes, either up close, primarily men that I knew, or men that I admire from afar, they all practice this thing of, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'll rest when I'm dead. Right now, it's work. And what that philosophy, that way of looking at life ultimately does is when you have a family in particular, but even without a family, is it causes you to not have boundaries. And for most of, I'm 42, I'll be 43 in a couple of months. For most of my adult life, I not only worked from 9 to 5, I worked once I got home. I worked after I got home. I would work at the dinner table. I would work in the bed at night. And all of those things got in the way of my parenting and caused me to be less quality of a father than I should have been. And I always felt like, hey, I'm here. I'm physically present, which was something I didn't get when I was a kid. My dad was not physically present. And so I felt like, hey, I'm here. I am around. Not knowing that just being in the building, being in the home, physically present, while it may be better than being completely absent, of course, it wasn't nearly enough. I wasn't emotionally present. I wasn't plugged in. I wasn't tuned in because I was working. And I was almost always working on stuff that was really, really important. And I did that often at the expense of my children and the expense of my marriage. And I did it in the name of, listen, you know, if you want to achieve what it is you're fighting for, if whatever that might be, a business or even if it's something to do with justice, you know, you'll rest when you're dead. And so there, I tell stories in my book of there are times where I would go days and days without sleeping, working through the night, because what I was working on, I made that so important that I made it more important than my own health, my own physical and emotional health, and I made it more important than my family. And I've had to deprogram this, and I will always be a grinder and a hard worker until the day I die because it was how I grew up. You know, I grew up, my mother was a factory worker, and I grew up around, you know, my grandparents were factory workers, and I grew up around that hustle and the physicality of just, you know, working your ass off to make ends meet. And so that ethic is in me, but I've had to deprogram the poisonous parts of it to have boundaries. And so now, with very few exceptions, I don't work in the evenings. I don't take calls in the evenings. I really am not even on my phone in the evenings. I'm not on my computer in the evenings. And because of that, it then allows me to not just be physically present, but emotionally present. Emotionally present in conversations. Emotionally present as my family might struggle with conflict or whatever may be happening. I disconnect from my work and then plug into my family. It's like right now I'm in a podcast studio and I'm just plugged into my work. My family is on my heart, of course. But what I've tried to do is what I'm still trying to do, let me be completely honest, is be fully plugged in to whoever and whatever is in front of me. So when it's work time, I'm fully plugged in. But when it's family time, I'm also fully plugged in. For you, that might be when it's therapy time, you're fully plugged in. When it's exercise time, you're fully plugged in. When it's marriage time, relationship time, you're fully plugged in. And so I try to make sure that every part of my life gets the time that it deserves. Yes. But also the emotional investment that it deserves as well. And so I do rest. I get on most nights, I get enough rest to help me be as fresh as possible during the day. I don't generally, I have avoided, thankfully, a lot of vices that could jam you up. And so I've never, thank God, I've never had drug addictions. I don't drink alcohol. And so alcoholism was a problem for some members of my family, and I've thankfully been able to avoid that. While there are some pictures of me smoking a joint, even that, you know, I tried to smoke. I went 40 years of my life without ever smoking and tried to smoke weed to really help me deal with the pain, but I couldn't really get into it. Like it was just too hard on my lungs. And so I don't smoke cigarettes or weed. Not regularly. It may happen every blue moon, but it's not something I do regularly. And so of being able to avoid a lot of vices that may harm my lungs or my physical health or mental health, being able to avoid a lot of that has also helped me just have kind of a baseline of physical health as well. I've talked about this a lot, but I have been now in weekly therapy for over a year, and I have a therapy session once a week with a brilliant therapist who cares deeply about my well-being and has helped me really process and understand who I am, how I'm healthy, how I'm unhealthy, and what I need to do to take good care of myself and my family. And I would encourage all of you to not only find a therapist, but find a therapist that you think understands you. You know, for me, that means finding what we call a trauma-informed therapist who is not only unafraid of the trauma that I've experienced from childhood through adulthood, but understands the trauma in society that people are facing that I'm often working on. And so these things aren't strange for my therapist. So often that means finding a therapist from your own cultural background. If you're Black, it doesn't mean you can't have a white therapist. And if you're white, it doesn't mean you can't have a Black therapist. It doesn't mean that. But there will be things culturally that if you find a therapist who is not familiar with your history and culture, good, bad, and everything in between, that's going to cause some challenges. And so, you know, I have a therapist who is culturally competent and understands not only what I've experienced myself, but what the people I'm fighting for are experiencing. And she has the language and understanding to deal with that. Either, you know, I don't have a strong preference in terms of if it's a man or a woman, only that if you are a woman, and there are some things that a woman therapist can only explain because she fully understands them. And the same is for a man. My therapist, who has been a therapist for thousands of people over the course of her life, she's not a man. She's sensitive to the unique struggles of men, but her not being a man has never been a barrier for me. But the cultural piece, I think, is very important. You know, for me, also, my family, and without my wife, I don't think I would do this properly, but my family finds time to get away. We just went camping this past week and had a great time. You know, she makes sure that we get away, we have vacations. And I just made a post a few weeks ago. We took a vacation with some of our friends from college. And it takes me a few days to unplug my brain from all of the work. But I was able to decompress a lot and come back refreshed. And so those breaks are also vital for me. And even there are times where I may have to take a day off of work, which is really hard for me to do because my work is demanding and is pulling on me and really requires me to be present. But if I'm sick or unwell on a day, I do take off. This weekend, I've been in a lot of physical pain from my neck injuries and surgeries. And I thought hard about taking today off, but I was able to really push through and I felt like I feel good enough to work. And for me, when I do feel good enough to work, I have to work because I know there'll be days when I just don't feel good enough. And when I don't, I bite the bullet and just tell my staff and my family, hey, I'm really sorry, but I have to take today off. I'm not well. And I'm grateful that my life is positioned where I'm allowed to do that. And I hope that many of you also have, you know, the ability to take a day off here and there where you need to. There's so much more that I could say. I'm late recording today's podcast, so I've got to run. But self-care is a journey, It's a daily commitment. And we've put a stigma around what it means to be selfish. And, you know, we've made it such that taking care of yourself or looking after yourself, we sometimes confuse that with some inappropriate level of selfishness. Like there is an unhealthy selfishness, and that's not what self-care is. It's a healthy self-love, a healthy selfishness of saying, I've got to take care of myself so that I can be healthy for myself and for those around me. But I think that stigma attached to the word and concept of selfishness has really gotten in our way. Listen, gotta run. Love and appreciate all of you. Listen, if you're not yet subscribed to the North Star, go now, subscribe now at thenorthstar.com. Take care, everybody.
Break it down.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. Every single week, we talk about wealth management, personal finance, and entrepreneurship.
We are financial advisors by day. We're entrepreneurs by night. We're building wealth for ourselves, and we want to make sure that you understand how to build wealth in your own family.
Tune in for shows like Is Your Money Racist? Retirement Savings? Investment 101. We literally run the gamut on all the things that you need to know about financial wealth, creating a legacy for your family, and really just wealth creation as a whole.
What we find is that these conversations are happening, but they're not happening as much as they need to in diverse communities. And so we're bringing a new voice, a new amount of energy, and we want you to tune in.
So we bring the tips, we bring the strategy, and we always bring the good news. So make sure you tune in every week to the Momentum Advisors. There's something for everyone. Momentum.